Hello, everyone. Happy Mother's Day to the moms in the house. And I am a lucky guy on many levels. First of all, it's hard to be a parent, but I have so much respect for single parents. My mom was a single parent for a season of life, and I just made it really difficult for her. But I know as a married guy with an amazing wife, when my wife leaves for a period of time, 5 minutes or longer, it can be stressful. Literally, when my wife would go away, maybe to visit her family or on a retreat or just to, you know, have some mom time, and I was responsible for my three amazing kids, I always counted three when they left, when my wife left, and I just had to have three. It didn't matter what kids, I just needed three there when she got back. And I literally would bow when she would get home. Like, I don't know, like, how you do this. But even today, now, my kids are big. They're 21, 19, 17. Now when my wife goes away, she instructs them how to take care of me. You know, like, make sure he puts on something other than same sweatpants all the time, and help him to get out of the house, and help him to talk to people, you know, just, you know. But literally, I think it was last week, my daughter, my youngest, took the SAT, and so it was kind of a stressful day, because she had the SAT in the morning, my wife was taking her, and then she had to be gone for the rest of the day. But my daughter, when she finished, she needed to get on with her track team, take, you know, like an hour or more ride. She had a track meet, so I got these instructions. Make sure Caitlin has food for after the SAT. She's going to be really hungry. She needs all kinds of stuff to get ready for her meet. So I'm thinking, yeah, okay, a granola bar and a box of raisins. You know, that's good. But she's like, no, it's going to be high protein and this and that. And I was starting to stress. I literally said, what does that mean? Like, I mean, literally tell me what that means. Call me. And so she called me like 10 minutes later, and I am at my computer typing exactly like what to bring. And so I get this list, and I put it all together. And it was, you know, quite an impressive amount of, you know, food, nutrients. I mean, an army could have survived like for weeks on this. And so I give it to my daughter, and she's like, wow, Dad, you're awesome. And I'm like, no, your mother is awesome. Take a look at this video, because this is how I often feel.
Okay, stop talking, all of you. I hope you little rats know that the only reason anything ever good happens in this house is because of your mother. Every birthday, every Christmas. If it were up to me, you would all live unfed and unclothed in the yard. Now do your homework.
But what's sad is that is so true. That is so true for me. Listen, you know, it's... We like to have fun in church, and church should be a place where, you know, you're free to laugh, but it's also a place where you're free to be you. This is a place where we don't wear masks, and if you are someone that, you know, kind of puts on a happy face even though you're dying inside, stop it. Right, we need to be real with one another, and so I just want to acknowledge that church is a place for the broken, hurting person. We need each other, married or single. We need each other. And so Mother's Day is a wonderful day to honor our moms, our stepmoms, the mom figures in our lives. But we got to be honest. For some, Mother's Day is a hard day. For some, you had your mom or your grandma, you know, pass away in the last year or so. Some of you don't have or never had a good relationship with your mom. And so you're like, happy Mother's Day, really? Like, yeah, I don't really know what that means. Some of you want to be a mom, but up to this point, you just haven't been able to. And so, you know, that's difficult. Some of you have mom guilt. You're wishing you could be more or do more, and you battle constantly the woulda, shoulda, couldas that you will never win. But God gets that. God celebrates with those of us for whom Mother's Day is a happy day. But God also mourns with those for whom Mother's Day is a hard or sad day. Because God loves us like a mother loves us. And that might sound strange because we pray our Father in heaven, right? God is portrayed in the Bible as a father. But I want the box that you put your understanding of God in, and it's nice and neat, I want you to get rid of that box. Because the moment you think you have God figured out, it proves you don't. We are the created. We will never truly know the Creator. Now, the good news is God has revealed himself through his creation, in the Bible, through Jesus. And we discover, the prophets teach us, the prophets refer to God as a father. Jesus referred to God as his father. He taught us to pray, our Father in heaven. You know, Paul affirmed that there's one God, the Father. So we know this. But the thing, what you think about God is key. I don't want you to be limited to just understanding the stereotype of, oh, God's our Father. Now, for some of you, that's difficult because you didn't have a good relationship with Dad. But you think, Father, so he's strong, he's powerful, he's, you know, reliable, right? That's the stereotype. And that is true all about God. But you know what? Women are strong and powerful and reliable as well. Here's why it's important. Look at this quote by A.Z. Tozer, an incredible thinker. He says, what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. So if we have this small view of God, we're not going to really trust God. And it shows in this next quote. He says, a low view of God is the cause of 100 lesser evils. A high view of God is the solution to 10,000 temporal problems. Jesus tells us God is not male. God is not female. He says God is spirit. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. God loves us like a mother. The very first thing that God said to Moses when he appeared to him, he said, I am a compassionate God. And that's important because that word compassion comes from a Hebrew word which means womb. So he's saying God's love and compassion for us is like that which a mother has for her child. So God has this mother's kind of love for us. Look what the prophet Isaiah said. He says, as a mother comforts her child, so will I, God speaking, so will I comfort you, and you will be comforted over Jerusalem. You know, God's saying through Isaiah that I love you as a mother loves you. And then later, he asks this rhetorical question, can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? I mean, the answer is assumed is there. No way. But though she may forget, even if the crazy happened, I will never forget you. God loves us like a mother, which is why I want to invite my mother up here to join me today. I want her to kind of give a mother's perspective on today's message. Look at this beautiful person. She looks younger than I do. I don't get it. I'm still 39, right? So I don't get it. But I wanted my mom to give a mother's perspective on this message. But to be honest with you, she also says that we never spend any time together anymore. So I thought this is a good opportunity. You know? But here's the dirty little secret. All right, this is the truth. There is a reason that we don't spend as much time together anymore. And it's because my mother has actually found someone that she loves more than her own flesh and blood. Grandchildren. All right, look at this. This is mom. In all her glory, this is her happy state here. You know, with, Elaine, Rachel, Caitlin, ages 21, 19, 17. So, Mom, just, you would do anything for me. Moms do anything for their kids. Actually, let's take a look at this video of some moms who would do anything for their kids.
Incredible.
just to give people context that I actually was a kid. We're going to show some pictures of your little boy. So how old was I here?
You were about a year to 18 months.
Okay.
Look at that smile.
Look at that smile. Look at that truck. Oh, now that's a cute kid there. Like, I peaked. That's where I peaked, right there. It was all, that was cute there.
You were about three, and that was your first official portrait.
Yeah. Nice, nice. And here's us together. So, how old was I there? Like four or
you
five?
You were about four or five.
So we lived in... I did love Mom. So we lived in the Bronx there, I think,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, my mom, if you are just meeting her, you'd say, wow, you know, she's like pretty hip and cool. She always like dresses hip and cool. Even look in this picture. Let's get a close-up. Look at those boots. Get the bell bottoms, right? We didn't have a ton of money, but she made sure that, you know, she looked good. So you're awesome. So my mom's gonna kind of share some stories, but I want to take you through a series of verses that uses wings as a metaphor. It's a metaphor that's common through the Bible, where we find shelter or refuge in God. These verses they compare the tender way that animals with wings provide for their children to show how God provides for them. So this first verse is from Deuteronomy 32. Just before I read it, a little backstory. Moses is telling Israel's history here and how Israel became God's chosen people. So in the previous verse, verse 10, it says, God shielded him and cared for him. He guarded him as the apple of his eye, then here verse 11, like an eagle that stirs up its nest and hovers over its young, that spreads its wings to catch them and carries them aloft. So God's saying, I am like this eagle. The eagle instinctively, when there's trouble coming, will you know, stir the nest and wake up the little eaglets to either protect them, cover them, or to carry them off to safety. So Mom, let's start by just talking about like what's hard about being a mother.
Oh, what was hard? Well, I was single for a period of time. That was hard. And you were lucky enough to have a lot of other mothers in your life, like grandmothers, a lot of grandmothers, and to have people like even at your nursery school who treated you as special.
Mm-hmm.
So, one of the things that was really hard is that this period of time when I was alone, I was going to school to finish up my nursing degree, and so I would have to take Greg, Peter, I call him Peter.
Yeah, my middle name is Peter, my father's name is Greg, so everyone in my family calls me Peter.
So I take Peter to nursery school, starting out. First day, he's clinging to me, crying. Second day, clinging, crying. By the third day, I finally asked the teacher, oh my goodness, how long does it take for him to calm down? I'm thinking it's all day. And she says, as soon as she closed the door. I didn't believe her. So one day when I dropped him off, I closed the door and I listened. And she was right. It was like turning off a faucet. Stopped crying, and so was that door closed.
Yeah, you mentioned other mother figures in my life. Like our family was very close.
Yes.
Country grandma and city grandma. City grandma lived in Manhattan, 61st Street and First Avenue. Country grandma lived way out in Staten Island. So, you know, that was country grandma. But yeah, I kind of grew up with them and around them.
And one special thing was he was the first grandchild, both sides.
So, totally spoiled.
Yes.
I recommend it. If you can pull that off, I recommend it.
And so he came up with a word when we were looking at pictures one day, pointing to my mother, and he said, Panya! And I, okay. Then he pointed to the other grandmother and said, Panya! And so we found out much later that, probably 3 years ago, that there is word called panya in another language, and I think it's Polish, and it means a respected woman. So that's what he thought about immediately. And all the grandchildren called
her panya. Yeah, city grandma was panya. We called her panya. I like to think I was just brilliant, but I think, you know, it was one of the people in my life was probably a Polish woman just teaching me respect. You know, in terms of being life being hard, particularly as a single mom, you were telling me the story actually just this morning about I wanted something. I wanted you to buy me something.
Yes, I remember that. It was deep into the time where I was going to school, not much money, and we were at Central Park. We go there a lot. And he wanted one of the whirly twirly things or something. And I said, honey, I can't buy it for you. Mommy, you just go into that your purse. Honey, I don't have any money to buy that for you. Oh, yeah, just go right in there. So I said, okay, Peter, I'm going to show you. I open up my purse. He sees there's really no money there. And he understood. And I think he understood for the rest of his life because he worked really hard.
Oh, this last Christmas, I got a whirly-turly thing for him. Thank you. It was awesome. Awesome. Let me show you this verse from Psalm 57. This is David crying out to God. He says, have mercy on me, my God. Have mercy on me, for in you I take refuge. I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings until the disaster has passed. So again, just picturing God as a God who will love and protect using the wing imagery. So in terms of a season of like protection, talk about my kind of growing up, becoming a adolescent, teenager.
Oh, please. We all know teenagers,
wasn't
right?
Wasn't that bad, was it?
As soon as he turned 13, it was a lot of sassing, you know what sassing is, talking back, and a lot of eye rolling. So one day, I couldn't tolerate it. And I go to your room, Peter, and you don't come out until I tell you. And then I'm back in the kitchen doing what I was doing, making dinner and all, and thinking about this, and I'm thinking, I gotta go through this a lot with him. I don't think this is gonna work. So I called him out of his room.
Did you get rid of me?
No, I would. That was one thought. Called him out of his room. We sat down in the living room, and I said, "You know, Peter, I gotta have a really thought about this. You've never been an adolescent. I've never had an adolescent. Could we work on this together?" And it was the first time I think that we tried to understand and communicate and. It works. It's been working ever since.
Yeah, I think that was a moment that something clicked. I don't know if it was at that same time, but kind of going back to money, you know, not having much money. I remember we were somewhere in the city, and we got an ice cream cone, which, you know, my mother asked, "You want an ice cream?" Like, of course.
Still
so
a question.
Pick whatever you want. Okay, I probably coconut, you know, ice cream. But then. Well, I knew what was going to happen, and it happened. So, let me have a taste. Let me have a taste. And I was just so frustrated because I would always, you know, my scoop of ice cream became a half scoop, and it was always so frustrating. You come to our house, if there's a box of chocolates, you open up, and there's all of them are half eaten because my mother will just like, oh, I like this one and that one. Yeah. But I remember being upset that you would eating my ice cream. But then, like, there was this moment where I suddenly became mature and I realized, you know, I wouldn't have half of an ice cream cone if it wasn't for, you know, my mother. So there was just like something that clicked there. Let's look at this next verse, Psalm 91. This is a description of God. God, he will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. Let me just read it again. God will cover you with his feathers. God will shelter you with his wings. God's faithful promises are your armor and protection. You just need to really lean into that. You need to trust God in that. It doesn't mean everything's going to work out just the way you want it to, but it's a promise that God will protect and provide his way. And God's way is the right way. It's not always our way, but God's way is the right way. So as a mom, how did you seek to provide and protect me? Maybe you're talking about the bus, right?
Oh, yeah, bus. We moved back to Manhattan. We had been living in the Yonkers, I think, at that time. We moved back to Manhattan, and I was a little leery of public schools. I didn't know any of them, but I knew my school, which was a Catholic, a parochial school, on 65th Street. We were living
on the east side.
On the east side. We were living at 90th Street and Broadway, the west side, and uptown. So there were no school buses to take him to school. There were regular city buses. So we went the route. I said to him, okay, we're going to go to school. Let's pay attention.
First, let me just interrupt. You just got to, the fact that I was going to school was crazy because my mom was told by Sister Jean, mm-hmm. the principal at this school, that there were no spots for your son. She still went and got me the uniform, dressed me up, and took me to school on the first day. And Sister Jean found a spot for this kid. So here's a mother who would not give up. All right, so I'm 8 years old.
And so we're taking the bus downtown to 67th Street and then cross town to 67th Street. So we did that the first day, the two of us. I showed him how to do the bus. The second day, I said to him, okay, you tell me how we're going to take the bus. So he tells me, and we get to school. The third day, I just followed behind him and let him take me to school. And he made all the right decisions. The fourth day, I worried because I let him do it by himself. And I wasn't relieved until I got that phone call from Sister Jean's office that he was there. Mm. By the fifth day, I learned to live with the anxiety, and it never really went away, but it was something I could live with.
Yeah, but and you always told me, I didn't really understand the full story till I was an adult, that there were some people along the way that would kind of look out for me. Who were these people?
I remember looking out the window one day, and he's waiting on 90th for the bus to come downtown. And here's these lovely ladies, all dressed up, lots of makeup, high heels, in the morning, fixing his tie. And I realized they were the ladies of the night. They're waiting for the traffic, and or had been waiting. And so we had a very serious conversation that evening.
Yeah. They were just nice ladies, yeah. I don't know.
I'm sure.
You know, what's cool, we think about Jesus instructs us to make disciples, which is a fancy word for learners. Basically, help other people know and follow Jesus and equip others to do the same. And when I was living in the city, when my wife and I were in the city and we had three little girls, and my oldest was transitioning from elementary school to middle school, there was no transportation, so she had to walk. And so I walked with her. This is how you do it. And okay, now you show me. And then after that, she was on her own. So she thought, I was kind of lurking the whole way, like for weeks, just making sure everything was okay. She thought she was on her own, but I was hovering, looking out for her. Let's look at this next verse, Psalm 17. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings from the wicked who are out to destroy me, from my mortal enemies who surround me. Again, just think about what's going on in your life, whether it's at home or in the classroom or at work. Are there people you just feel like, man, they're out to get me. Like, I can't get ahead, or this is just not working. This is a prayer to God that, God, I need you to step up and provide for me and to take care of me. So as a mom, where did you see this, where there were all kinds of dangers and enemies out there? I know you were talking about when I was learning to drive that that became an issue.
Yes. How many, I'm sure we all have a teenager learning to drive. Some of us at least do. And it was nerve-wracking for me. So I thought, okay, I got to put up some restrictions so I know that he's going to be at least somewhat safe. And so one of the restrictions was you cannot drive in a car without another person. Not another friend, it had to be an adult with a license. And you're doing this for 6 months. That's the length of time I thought that you could get the practice in. He was very obedient as a child, at least I think so.
Yeah.
And he would do that until the one day, we were living in Bethel, and it was very rural. I ran out of milk. I didn't want to get in the car and go for milk. So guess what? He got to drive after 4 months to get his mother some milk. He did it alone.
I was looking out for mom. Now, I actually confessed this the first service. There was a season. I was obedient. I didn't drive. This when we lived in Connecticut, my mom had remarried, and on this particular weekend, she and my stepdad were going away. So we had two cars, so they took my mom's car and went away. And my stepdad said, "Do not drive my car. You're not allowed to drive my car." I was like, "Okay, yeah, no problem." Well, I had a couple of my friends, my best friends over, Glenn and Tony. Spent the night, hung out, had a good time. In the morning, we were hungry and just craving donuts. But I knew I could not drive the car. So I gave the keys to Glenn, and he drove the car. So I didn't drive. I didn't drive the car.
I just found out about that.
But, you know, in terms of this protection and such, it works as a dad, too. My prayer is somewhat modified now as my girls are older, but when they entered middle school and high school years, every day I would pray, "God, protect them from the mean girls and the horny boys. God, just protect them." That has been my prayer, and now as they, you know, age, it's the same prayer, just slightly modified. One more verse, Luke 13. And just some background here. This is Jesus speaking, and he's sharing his heart. His heart is broken for the people, the men, the women, the children of Jerusalem who aren't following him. And earlier in the verse, he cries out, he says, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you." Then you see here, "How often I have longed to gather your children together, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing." This is God's cry to us, that he wants to be in relationship with us. He wants he calls us unto himself. He wants us to come to be protected. And this is such a powerful image because in a farmyard, if a farmyard catches fire, animals obviously will try to escape. Well, but sometimes there is no way for them to escape. And you know, it's horrible. You have these defenseless animals that will die. But there have been many reports after the fire is put out, where they'll come upon a hen that is completely, you know, blackened and scorched and has been killed, but underneath this hen is our living chicks. This hen gave her life to protect her kids, her chicks. And that is Jesus' invitation to us. I want to show you one more picture. Thanks, Mom. You can have a seat. Does anybody know what this is? Just shout it out if you do. The Ark of the Covenant. Ark of the Covenant. So if you're familiar with the Bible or you've seen Raiders of the Lost Ark, you know, you have seen this or experienced this. But this is the Ark of the Covenant, the holy place. In fact, this item was kept in the temple, not just in a holy place, but what's known as the Holy of Holies place. And you see what's on top is called the mercy seat. And there are, you see these wings, these birds. It's again a picture of protection and grace. And once a year, the high priest, and only the high priest, would offer the sacrifice. A sheep or a lamb would be killed and then would pour the blood onto the mercy seat as a peace offering on behalf. This is the Day of Atonement. Those of you who are Jewish or have Jewish friends, this is the Day of Atonement when all their sins would be forgiven. And this, again, is just a great picture of God's heart for us with these wings that are out for us. And then if you think of Jesus on the cross, doesn't have wings, it's just his arm, but it's just the same picture, illustration of arms open wide to receive us, to be here for us. So I want to take this last minute, and actually I'm going to be quiet. Polo's going to play, and I want you to think, to reflect on one or more things. There's some message notes in your bulletin. Maybe you've been reminded of just how awesome your mom is, or is. Write her a note, even if she's passed away. Just write a note of thanks. Maybe this is a time you need to forgive your mom. Write a prayer. God, help me to forgive. Or write out a little note. Maybe it's a time to think about ways that you need covering. You need protection. You need God's provision. Use this time to pray. Or again, all of us are called to show this kind of love to others. All of us are called to provide for others and protect others. So is there a way that God is nudging or prompting you? Is there someone in your life that you need to stand up for, that you need to support? So I'm going to stop talking. I'm going to give you a minute just to reflect and just think. So don't look at me. Take time to just pray or write down something and think. What does God want you to do? It is our prayer that more and more we would get a greater understanding of who you are. You are strong. You are powerful. You invite us into a relationship as a father. But you are compassionate. You are merciful. You are gracious. You are a protector and provider. And we don't want to lose sight of that. Help us to be a people who understand, have a greater understanding of who you are, not only to receive that, but that we would share that with others. We ask for your help